This is Andy Orme at O'Reilly, and I'm doing some talks with people who are going to be presenting at the healthcare track, a new track, at the Open Source Convention in July in Portland, Oregon. And I have with me here Brian Behlendorf, who is famous as one of the founders of the Apache web service, web server project, and one of the founders of CollabNet. So now Brian is a consultant with the Department of Health and Human Services. So I wanted to ask him why he's doing this.
Hi. Thanks, Andy. I decided about 2 years ago that I wanted to take a break from entrepreneurship and head into put a little bit of effort into public service. I think it's something that anybody should do, should really try. And I felt like there was a good time to start getting involved with, what seemed to be in early 2008, a potential change in administration. So, I started thinking more and more about where open source actually had a public policy dimension, started to get involved as a volunteer on the Obama campaign. And after the election, joined as a contractor to the White House on the Open Government Project, working for Beth Novak, who's the deputy CTO. And after about 5 months on that, I told Anish Chopra, the new CTO, I was really interested in helping specifically on open source software. And he said, "How much do you know about health IT?" I said, "I went 10 years without seeing a doctor, so I don't really know much at all about the healthcare world. But my sense is there's probably a big problem there." And he said, "Well, go check this project out." So I spent some time with Vish Sankaran and David Riley, who were two of the leading lights of the NHIN project, the Nationwide Health Information Network, specifically a project there called Connect. And Connect is a platform for the exchange of electronic healthcare record data. And what I found was a sweet little project targeted really at this spot, which is how do we use open source software to drive interoperability standards in a space, outside of the world of web servers and operating systems and content management systems, but actually is very specific to a really, really big challenge.
I think that some of our listeners would understand the importance of standards and the problems you can have when you have proprietary products that don't conform to standards, but I think we should get a bit concrete here. And you could tell me what it's like for someone to go into a facility, a different facility from where their records are stored, and to try to get medical care.
Well, today's experience with with the healthcare system for most people is probably pretty dirge-like. It's probably if you're simply checking in for a physical or for a healthcare checkup with a new doctor or a new dentist, there are lots of forms to fill out and a lot of questions about your medical history, if you have a particularly important history, they'll want to know who were your doctors before, so we can fax them and ask for fax machine copies of your records from prior institutions and all that. This is a particular problem inside of the federal government, as there are 26 different federal agencies that either possess or have a need to see healthcare data. And this is most acute in the military side of the world, in the Department of Defense, in the Veterans Administration, as well as in the Indian Health Service and Social Security. These agencies and many others actively exchange healthcare data in a way that historically has just created a lot of overhead. The fax machine and a fax machine printout, is about the worst way to send information where decimal points matter. Whether that's an 8 or a 3 really matters, right? The framing that really helped push people over the edge to realize, hey, we really need an interoperable standard, was that of the soldier who went and served in Iraq or Afghanistan, gets injured, comes back home, enters the VA system, gets some treatment in the private sector as a veteran, and in that cycle probably sees 5 or 6 different healthcare providers in the course of just a few years. And even if each one of those had an excellent electronic healthcare record system, such as, say, the VA has had for the last 30 years, the actual interoperability there meant that the soldier or the spouse of the soldier is still carrying around with them boxes of paper records. And so the point of the NHIN project, the Nationwide Health Information Network, is to really address this challenge of how do we get a longitudinal, semantically meaningful record of a patient's health. How do we know when a doctor determines that it may be appropriate to grant a certain prescription that, you know, such a prescription has already been tried, at what dosage, right? What effect has it had? Maybe there's something the patient doesn't even remember about their healthcare treatment from 15 years ago that is relevant to a medical decision. All of these are challenges created by the lack of really digital, semantically meaningful healthcare data being exchanged between institutions. And this is what this project's really trying to address.
Yes, we have the problem of standards themselves, whether that data, like as you mentioned, that 15-year-old piece of data, whether it can be represented in a form that everybody can read. And we have the problem of exchange. But we also have the interesting question of improving evidence-based medicine, as the buzzword goes. And it seems that Connect may help with that, too.
Yeah. Peter Orszag, who is the head of the Office of Management and Budget, has stated his belief that 30% of the money that is spent every year in the United States on healthcare, which is about $2.5 trillion a year and is about 20% of our GDP. His belief is that about 30% of that money is waste, is money that's spent in administrative overhead, in access to records between organizations, but is also money that's wasted in procedures that don't actually work. And we don't know that they don't actually work because there's enough, you know, there is anecdotal evidence that it works here or it works there. But without being able to see that data in context, to be able to compare that approach to, addressing somebody's heart attack, the after effects of a heart attack, to the other procedures or the other drugs available. And being able to measure the outcomes, you know, which approach actually controlling for all other variables produced the best health outcomes. We don't have a systematic way to make that determination across all of the, you know, across all transactions and across all treatments of care in the United States. And because we don't have that data, we might be wasting a lot of money and don't really know it. And most studies that drill into these kind of point-to-point issues are able to find, yeah, we actually probably are wasting a lot of money. So if we have a systematic way of creating, information out of the raw activity of healthcare, and cognizant of patient confidentiality and HIPAA rules that govern how you can pass around health data in the aggregate, we might be able to find pathways to truly more efficient care and more effective outcomes. I think one final thing on this is that I think patients feel very disconnected from their own health. In many circumstances, I would say the majority of people out there view the maintenance of their health as a job that they have outsourced to their doctor, and that because they rarely get a copy of their own health data, because they don't have a way to look at this as a longitudinal kind of thing. Show me over the last 10 years what my cholesterol levels have been. Even though I'm not at risk right now, what is the trend? Is the trend up? What was my body weight 10 years ago, right? Having ways to look at data like that over the course of a period of time where you might have seen 5 different doctors and been in 3 different healthcare plans, I think providing tools like that would give patients a much greater investment in their own healthcare and get them more involved and more proactive and I think healthier.
Great. When I was asking these questions, these were sort of opening questions, my goal was to convince the listeners that this stuff is really important. The way you exchange data can make a difference. At the top level, we have government agencies trying to find the best types of care. Further down, you have the hospitals trying to just get data from one to another so doctors can make the right decisions. And now you are saying in the future, we'll even have the patients involved in data exchange.
Absolutely. I mean, there is a growing field now of providers. Companies emerging in the space of the personal healthcare record space, ranging from Microsoft Health Vault and Google Health to a whole host of startup companies that have different angles at it. And the design of the NHIN has taken into account this idea of the patient as a first-class participant in the process, and giving the patient the ability to get a copy of all of the records that relate to that patient out there on the network, as well as be able to share those records at their direction with anybody else that they want to. And so that's a critical design function in this project.
And just as a little marketing plug, I'll mention that the Microsoft and the Google projects will also have speakers at the open source convention where you are speaking. Mm-hmm. So what's also interesting is how you took this project, which was done inside the government, and you made it into an open source project. You involved hospitals, you involved vendors, and it sounds like you made it very robust. I want to hear about that.
Sure. So when I started working on this project in about June of last year, so almost 12 months now, the project was very much a traditional government-specified, contractor-delivered kind of project. They had just made the decision that it was time to put the code out there under an open source license as a way to test the waters to see if this was interesting to the rest of industry. And they were starting to get some good feedback, but they were unsure about how to map that, how to actually turn that feedback from a drawback, where they'd have to be providing support and updates, to a customer base that wasn't paying for it, and turn that into something that was actually a positive loop, right? A positive feedback loop. And so what I did is pointed to how other open source projects operate, which is not just to put the code out there, but to also open up your development tools, right? To open up your source code repository and your issue tracker, and to take the conversations that happen even internally between your own developers and between your project managers and the customer, essentially, and make those transparent as well. And this is a hard thing to do. You can ask anybody who's been a part of a large internal software project that has been opened, and they can say it's a generational kind of shift. It requires a different way of working, not just in the tools, but in the processes you choose as well, and a different way of thinking about how people on the outside are going to view your project and how they can contribute to it. So the first step was really to start to turn this inside out, and that is still an ongoing process. There's still a lot that is done, in face-to-face meetings and in conference calls and in other fora that are hard to actually make digital and accessible to a large number of people. We have started to have codeathons around the United States. We had one in D.C., one in Portland, and one just a few months ago in Miami. And the point here is to take a weekend, bring the developers who have been working on the project for a while, as well as the new open source community contributors, into the same physical space to talk about here's how to build, here's how to debug, and here's where we're heading in the future. I think that's really critical to building this sense of self, this sense of identity amongst the participants that is more than just, it's government paying a bunch of contractors to build it. A second major angle on this is to make sure that, open source projects don't depend upon, people who are just mere volunteers, or mere charitable developers. Often successful projects depend upon developers and companies who are depending upon that code for some commercial interest. Maybe they are Facebook and they're using code, that related to distributed file systems, right? Or Google who contributes heavily to the Linux kernel, right? And to other open source projects because they use that software. Or they're a company like Red Hat that builds a support business around it. So we made sure that we let it be known that we were very keen on seeing vendors take Connect, incorporate it into their products, and or build software support businesses around it, and go off and prosper on the premise that in doing so, they would be fixing bugs, they would be porting it to new platforms, they would be adding new features, and that if we did our job right in terms of making the project very public, they would bring those contributions back to the project. And that's happened. We have a page now on the Connect website where vendors are playing a role, or vendors have a listing of about 13 of them, you know, showing these are the services they offer, these are the or the products that incorporate Connect, and many of those companies do pay developers who contribute to the Connect code base and are a part of the community.
It sounds like you're really making the community and the vendors feel like they're being listened to.
We're really trying. We're really trying.
So I think I will wrap it up by asking what you want to achieve by talking at the Open Source Convention and what you're looking for from people like the listeners on the O'Reilly side.
Well, you know, the healthcare IT space is really growing. You know, there is the a significant amount of new money coming into this space now and over the next 5-6 years, because getting health IT implemented very broadly to as many doctors as possible and to as many patients as possible is now a national priority. The Recovery Act from last year put into this space $40 billion in compensation, amongst other things, in compensation to doctors to adopt electronic healthcare record systems. And the goal of Connect and the goal of many of the initiatives that the government is funding and pushing forward is to increase the number of options, increase the quality of the options out there. And in almost every category of medical software, of health IT software, there is a viable open source offering. And I feel that the developers in the rest of the open source world should get to understand, here's where the different, you know, interesting projects are in this space, here's where the funding is from, and here, most importantly, this is why this is an important challenge, right? The healthcare, improving the quality of healthcare and improving the digitization of the healthcare industry could save the United States a ton of money and really make a dent in the quality of life and worldwide as well. And so I'd just love them to find that out.
Everybody knows that the healthcare industry is growing, lots of money being put in, and the government was putting money in with the Recovery Act even before the famous healthcare bill. So it would be great for people to think not of forming a company to try to siphon off as much of this personally as you can, but to contribute to a project that will produce benefits for all of us, the companies and the insurance companies and the doctors and the patients.
Well, it's the same kind of enlightened self-interest that drives, drove a lot of people to contribute to the Apache web server in the mid to late 90s, right? This premise that the web is going to be big and we all need a common platform and we'll all go off and figure out how to make money on the periphery, but let's build a great core and just have a lot of leverage and a lot of power from that.
Well, thanks for taking time to talk to me today, Brian. I'm going to be talking to Arian Malik tomorrow about the NHIN Direct, another part of this project. And we'll see you at the Open Source Convention. I hope a lot of the listeners will also see us at the Open Source Convention.
I'm looking forward to it.